Wait a minute.
Hear this.
Powered by the Sales IQ Network.
This is the Sales IQ Podcast. I'm your host, Luigi Prestidenti, and each week we'll be going on a journey that will inspire you, motivate you, and help you be the best sales professional you can be. Our focus will be on mindset, tactics, and the strategies that will enable you to create more pipeline and win more deals. Welcome to another episode of the Sales IQ Podcast. I'm excited. I'll tell you why I'm excited, because it is the start of a new quarter. It's the start of a new month. And for many, it's also the start of a new financial year. Now, I missed you last week. I didn't put an episode out because I was down with the damn COVID, the gift that keeps on giving. It wiped me out. I had every intention, but I just had no voice. I could not speak. And the guest that we had booked in for last week is joining us next week. So it is an incredible episode that we were going to be recording. But I'm back. I'm feeling great, actually. I actually went to the gym today. I was a bit tired, but I'll tell you what, I was able to tick the box. I'm feeling really good, but I'm also feeling really excited about the second half of 2022 and what the second half represents for many of us, right? In a world where if you do listen to the news, if you do watch the news, the first thing I can say is absolutely stop listening, stop watching. I mean, I don't listen to it because I tell you what, there's enough negative sentiment, there's enough negative talk about, you know, the changing economy, downturn in economy, et cetera. And for me, I'm sort of saying, hey, no economic climate is going to stop me from achieving my goals. And for you as a sales professional, no economic climate is going to stop you from achieving your goals. So before we get into today's episode, we're going to talk about all things outreach in a declining economy. If people are saying that the economy is slowing down, this is where you need to be proactive. You need to really put in place your outreach strategy so that you can be proactive in generating more pipeline so that the economic climate doesn't impact your performance. But just check the show notes as well at the end of this episode, because I want you to check out the ebook, which is on mindset. It's got some incredible strategies that will help you really think about setting yourself up, the foundation for success, setting yourself up so that you can have a massive 2022, end the last 6 months. It's under 6 months now. Use this time, download the ebook. It's got some great strategies. It's got a calculator. It'll help you build your sales plan so that you can really make 2022 an unforgettable year for the right reasons, okay? So jump in there. Also, check out the Sales IQ community. We've got incredible guests coming up. We've got the high performance, ex-high performance coach of the New York Yankees joining us this week, talking all things high performance. It's available to you as a listener to the Sales IQ podcast, as somebody who I care about, because I'm here to help you be the best sales professionals you can be. You have access to additional content. You just got to click the link. There is no payment to access. There is a free part of our community that I would love for you to come in, have a chat to us. And there's a whole range of content. There's hours and hours. There's priceless amounts of content there to help you be the very best sales professional you can be. This podcast is brought to you by the Create Pipeline program from Sales IQ Global. This program will equip you with the skills, tools, and confidence to run an outbound strategy so you can generate more qualified opportunities and close more deals. Hear what Alice from DocuSign has been able to achieve since joining the program and our incredible community.
So my name's Alice, and I work at DocuSign as an EBR. And the reason I started Sales IQ was because I really needed that guidance and that training to make sure that the outreach that I was doing was hitting the nail on the head. So I was lucky enough to start the program early on in this role. And since then, I've been pretty successful. And last quarter, I finished on 185%. So I've seen some huge results by adopting the principles.
Our next cohort is starting soon. So to learn more, go to www.salesiqglobal.com. Or if you have a team of sellers, talk to us about our in-house offering. Control your pipeline, control your destiny with Sales IQ.
So, I've had enough rambling. You're probably going, Luigi. I know it. I hear it. Okay. Tell me a bit about this week. So this week we have Ricky. We have Ricky Pearl as our guest. Now, Ricky runs, he's going to tell you a bit about himself, but he runs a business that helps companies generate pipeline, right? That's what he does. He does it. That's what his company does. So I thought, you know what? I was talking to Ricky recently. I thought, Ricky, come on the show. Let's talk about your proven process, the strategies that you implement that help you generate pipeline, not just for you, but for your clients, for companies that pay you to do pipeline generation activities for them. So this is going to be a great episode. Ricky's going to step out the process that he goes through when setting up an effective campaign. So there's a lot of positive takeaways. And as always, guys, please would love a rating, would love a like, would love a review on the podcast player you listen to, because the more positive feedback we get from you, the more people we can influence in a positive way. And if you're a long-time listener, I just want to say thank you. You know how grateful I am for coming on, for hearing the content that I put together, for engaging with the content that I put together, because I put this content to help you. And if you're new to our show, thank you for joining us. I'm excited that you've joined us, and I hope you find this episode valuable, because I put this content together to help you be the very best sales professional you can be. Welcome to the show, Ricky.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, pretty pumped. And actually, just for our listeners who might not be watching this right now, and one of the things that you'll learn about Ricky when I push you to his LinkedIn profile is some of the content that he shares. He shares content talking about topics around outbound and a whole variety of different sales topics, walking on his treadmill. And Ricky is actually walking on his treadmill now. So for Ricky, I am proud to say you are the first guest that have joined us on the Sales IQ podcast, walking and talking, mate. So welcome to the Sales IQ podcast.
Thank you. So it's a great walk and talk, right? Have interesting conversations and to try to get healthy at the same time. I've got to multitask here.
Got to multitask. That's right. Especially if, you know, we're in sales, man, and we're working long hours and we're doing what's needed to get the job done. But mate, I want to say thanks for jumping on. But before we get into today's topic and talk all things outbound and how we turn on an outbound strategy so that we can create more pipeline for ourselves.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how you started in the wacky world of selling.
I think sales really started with me developing the sales attributes, like being a salesperson. And it really, I think, is one of those origin stories. Like, I was super naughty as a kid. And I'm talking like, you know, very, very young, very early days, getting into things I shouldn't do. And I think I learned how to convince people, how to convey a story, and how to get out of trouble.
Yeah,
I think that was really the first thing I started selling. And you know, that kind of taught me the attributes. It wasn't what I loved though. That's the tactics. I loved the strategy of it. And when I started my own businesses, I realized the product part is actually pretty easy. You can have a good product. Now what? And as a business owner, most of the time I spend selling.
Yep.
But that's what you have to do as a founder, as a business owner. You're either selling the vision, you're selling the mission, or you're selling the product.
Mm.
And really that just, you know, developed into me falling in love with sales processes, and developing that as my superpower.
Yeah, awesome, man. And do you mind me asking, you talk about those attributes. What are the attributes that you define that make up a sales professional?
Just, you know, it's a tough one. And I can give you all of those standard wanky terms of like empathy, you know, resilience. But, you know, there's a mix. And I don't think there's any one, two, or three.
Yeah.
You know, I think some of it is like, resilience is definitely one of it, but strong mental fortitude, emotional maturity, knowing where your weaknesses are and being able to compensate, knowing where your strengths are and being able to play to them. I think those are things that are really underrated.
Yeah.
You could be shy, you could be quiet, you could be introverted, you could be extroverted, you could be dry, or you could have like a very flamboyant sense of humor. Like all of those can work.
Mm.
If you know how to use your attributes.
And I think you're interested, but I think what you said, like I really like that. I've never actually had that sort of conversation with anyone, a response, but I think understanding your strengths and weaknesses, I think is an important point you make for sales professionals, because you're right, the extrovert, introvert, one isn't better than the other. I know early in my career, it was the extrovert, the flamboyant, the outgoing personality was what a lot of people looked for, right?
Yeah. And that's like your classic salesperson, like on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, like you're in retail, you're talking to 100 people a day. Like maybe better to be extroverted there. But as soon as you're beyond that.
Yeah. But I think the reality though, as the profession has evolved, data literacy, search, like when we think about some of these key attributes, these weren't things that people looked for 20 years ago. It wasn't something data literate. Well, what does my sales team need to be data literate? But today, data, understanding data, being able to look through data, being able to turn data into insight and education is absolutely fundamental.
It is a very different ball game. The skill sets you need to be a successful sales professional these days, you know, I mean, talking about outbound specifically, you come to the sales world and all of a sudden you're looking at like the technicals of email configuration and server configurations so that that email can even be delivered.
Yeah.
You know, things have generally shifted. It used to be that loose-lipped, fast-tongue kind of salesperson who could talk you into a pretzel. But now it's how sophisticated is your writing? You know, can you construct a good email? Can you put together a good document, a good briefing?
Yeah.
You know, how well can you articulate someone's problem in a business case, in a well-structured business case? Like it is a lot more sophisticated and the skill sets required have completely shifted.
So this is awesome, man. And I think we're going to have a really lot of fun and in the time that we've got today, Ricky, and I've been pumped to be able to share some of your concepts with my listeners. But I just want to talk a bit about why my listeners should really think about your point of view. So at the moment you run Pointer, now can you tell me or can you tell us exactly what Pointer do? Because I think that'll bring to life exactly why I've brought you on to talk about outreach.
So, I mean, Pointer has this great, like this origin story of really trying to help people.
Yeah.
It used to be good enough that you could be the best mechanic in an area and your workshop would be full. Right, you just have to be good at doing something or have a good product.
Yeah.
Nowadays, if you don't understand, you know, how to advertise on Meta and on TikTok and how to do all of these other sophisticated sales and marketing motions, your business might fail.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to help businesses thrive. Right? I understood how to do sales. I understand how to do outbound, how to start conversations, particularly that top of funnel, those early stages within a business. And I thought, if I could help people overcome those barriers and help them thrive, then I can thrive too. And this could be like a win-win situation for everyone. I get to do what I'm passionate about and help people fulfill their dreams, which is incredible. So we started Pointer. It's focused on that top of funnel, that outsourced business development, outsourced sales development rep kind of a role where we're doing the real dirty work, that grind that most people don't want to do. Cold emails, cold calling, cold outbound in general, starting conversations with people who could use our customers' products.
Yep. Okay. So I hope that brings for all my listeners, man, I hope that kind of shares exactly why we've got you on, right? Because that's your business. People outsource the business development function to you so that you can create top of funnel pipeline for them. Yeah.
And now we've seen this across every industry, from service of like small to medium businesses within healthcare through to massive SaaS, you know, tech startups in every industry. So like we really understand now and have developed this expertise around how to build that function well.
Yeah. All right. So this is good, right? So I want to take two scenarios. The first scenario is because you're working across different sectors and you're applying your own methodology, the scenario I want us to walk through is a campaign that you might have recently executed or recently run for a client that delivered results. Can you walk us through your process, your playbook, you know, what you did to use outreach as a mechanism to drive more pipeline?
Sure.
Where did you start?
I'll start off by saying there's no magic in business development, right? That's what everyone's looking for. They're looking for some pill that they can take that takes the pain of outbound away. And it just doesn't exist, right? Like there's a human problem to outbound, which is that we don't like rejection. And there's a lot of deep psychological challenges there. There's also a massive technological issue now that you could be fine with all of that. But if you can't get an inbox, get your email to land in an inbox, it's like, you know, I don't know what P rating you have on this podcast, but it's like pissing into the wind, right? Like you're getting nowhere. So when we set up a campaign, we've got a standard methodology, a very simple playbook of who do you want to talk to, who has a problem that you can solve.
Yeah.
And we spend a lot of time on that because if you get that right, you know, like if you come and say, hey, Ricky, do you need a home loan? And I don't need a home loan. You could talk to a billion Rickies who don't need home loans and you're just spinning your wheels, getting nowhere. Or you could talk to me when I've just bought a piece of land and I'm considering building. you know, and saying, hey, I assume you're going to be building soon. You know, what are your finances like? Do you need help? All of a sudden you're in a conversation, right? So if you find the right person at the right time, everything else is easier.
Yeah.
So we always got to start with that. Who do we want to be talking to? Whose problems are we solving? And the more detailed, the more nuanced, the deeper we go there, the more successful the campaign is always.
Yeah.
Right. Now we've got to say, all right, these are people we want to talk to. What are we going to be saying to them? Like, what's the message? Now, obviously, there's technical issues. There's a lot of challenges in that list build. Now there's the messaging, a marketing issue. What are we going to say? Most founders come to us, they want to talk about the product. And so we have to start them off saying, nobody wants to talk about you. They want to talk about themselves. So let's flip this. Let's talk about the problem that you're solving. Like, hey, Ricky, I assume you're going to be building, you know, this is going to be the biggest expense in your life over the next 30 years.
Yeah.
If we could help take some of that pressure off you by getting you better rates, would that be interesting? I like, that's interesting to me. I don't know what your interest rate is. I don't even know what the product is yet. You're just saying, hey, if I can make this less stressful for you, would you be interested? So that messaging is super important. And once you have that messaging, it's like, well, how are we going to have this conversation? Is it over email? Is it over LinkedIn? Is it over a phone call? But you've got various channels to have the conversation.
No, I just want to go back. This is actually really good, right? So I'm going to break this down step by step. So the first step that you're talking about is really defining your target market first, really giving consideration to the target market and who within that market that we want to be talking to and why, right?
And build up from there.
Yep. Then the second step is all about understanding message. So problem v product. So instead of going out with a product and saying, this is what we do, let's actually focus on the problem that you help people solve. And the fourth step is all around your channel assessment. Which channel are you going to be using and leveraging to engage with your target market?
Yeah.
So I'm liking how, you know, you're stepping this out, but I just want to go back a step because I think something that you said earlier on when we were speaking about that data literate sales professional, you spoke about email structuring, server structuring, and I see this a lot, like yourself, companies not setting themselves up to actually get their emails to deliver, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you just talk us through the step zero? Let's call it step zero, right?
Yeah.
What do we need to do to set our systems up to ensure the emails that we do finally pressed when we press send get through to the other person?
This is just something everyone's getting wrong. Here's the concept. Spam, phishing emails, scams is like a multi-billion dollar problem in this world. So companies like Google and Microsoft are constantly trying to solve that problem and make their inboxes better experiences. So how essentially they are on a war against unsolicited email.
Yeah.
Right? There's laws competing. There's a whole lot of challenges there. So this is an uphill battle. And it's a moving feast at the same time. So at the moment, you have to be technically perfect to get emails delivered to the inbox. If it's going through to spam, you might as well not send it. If it's going to the promotions folder, like your success rate is, your promotions folder is the new spam folder, right? You have to be in the inbox.
Yeah.
And this is now a criteria of sales, is get your emails into the inbox. So you have to be looking at things like your technical server side, like your DKIM, your SPF, your DMARC, these like very technical things that have to be configured right in order for your emails to be delivered. On top of that, you've got volume issues, you've got language issues. So this isn't just a technological problem. There's also how your people interact with those emails. Do they just bang out 50 in an hour?
Yeah.
Right? Or do they send 1,000? You know, like Gmail, technically the limit is 2,000 emails a day. I can promise you now there's no inbox sending out 2,000 emails a day that are getting delivered. So there's a people problem and then there's a procedural problem.
Like,
how are companies structured to make sure that the emails that these new sales reps are sending don't have spam words in it? You know, like they'll say like, hey, you know, like you don't even realize what the spam words are because that wasn't a skill set that a salesperson needed to know.
Yeah.
Maybe the marketing manager might know because they've been sending emails for decades. But this now has to filter through to the sales team. So there's a whole lot of people challenges, process challenges, and technical challenges now.
Yeah.
At ground zero.
Okay. So we're at step zero. You've now blown the mind for many of the sales professionals listening to this going, what the hell is DMARC, DK, this, that, and the other, right? So, yeah, before, okay, I know this is not the episode where we're going to go technically into this, right? But can you maybe share a URL that you've shared previously?
Sure.
That if salespeople want to check if their emails have got spam words, if there are any issues with their emails, what's a URL they can use to check?
Sure. We can drop some in the show notes. There's like Mail Tester, Mail Genius, Mail Meteor, all of these free services. Literally takes you 5 minutes and can change the course of the trajectory of your career, because it's a difference between success or failure if your messages are being delivered or not.
Awesome. So we're going to put those in the show notes. I think they're in, and I use them all the time, right? So for all my listeners, this is actually really important stuff, right? We've got to, when we talk about that planning and is the foundation for success, right? So before we start executing, we've got step zero. We're going to just make sure that we've got everything set up in the background so that we can increase the chances of success. So step zero, set your structure up right. Step one, define your market and be very clear on who you're going to be engaging with. Step two is defining the message, making sure that it's problem focused versus product, so that you're not pitching your features.
It has to be relevant, right? That's the most important thing. Like, everyone's very hyper focused at the moment on personalization. Yep. Hey, Luigi, I heard you like to use this particular product in your hair. By the way, what are you doing for your HR payroll solutions? Yep. You know, like, that's personalized, but it's not relevant. Correct. So that messaging is key as well.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
So we show them, we know them, and we make sure it's relevant, right? So the personalization connects to relevance. Then step four is we're going to check our channel. So which channel are we going to be using? And obviously, we advocate an omni-channel approach. Once we do that,
for sure,
what's the next step that we have to execute on when it comes time to running an effective outreach strategy?
So we start looking for conversion.
Yeah.
And at the moment, we've made assumptions. We've made assumptions on the audience. We've made assumptions on the message, and then we've made assumptions on the channel. Because we're doing omni-channel, we're calling first, are we emailing first, are we starting off fast and slowing down, or are we starting slow and speeding up? There's a whole lot of different things. And when you add these variables together, there's like 10 variables on your audience and 10 variables on your message and 10 variables on your cadence. All of a sudden, you have 1,000 different variances here and different options of how this is all configured. So now we want to go through a scientific approach of maximizing conversion. So we start off slow. You know, we start off like, send 10 emails. Did we get a response? No, maybe tweak. All right, send another 30 emails. Did we get a response? Was it positive, negative? Tweak, tweak, tweak. And keep tweaking until you've got the channel right. You know, what we'll find, for example, is we'll start off a campaign and we're realizing emails aren't working on this campaign. Calls are killing it. All right, let's do more calling, less emailing. Right? Like, these are the things that we do to start maximizing. So we're changing the cadences, tweaking the message.
Yeah.
And looking for refinements within that audience. So at the same time, we're trying to lift them all up, make a tighter fit, a tighter fit, a tighter fit, and just keep optimizing that campaign. And once that campaign is running smoothly, effectively, with high conversion, we pick up the second ICP. All right, great. So now we were calling this market for this particular pain point. Let's try now pick up the next one.
So you're hyper personalizing and you're segmenting, you're becoming very laser focused. And then once you've got the conversion outcome, you then migrate to other ICPs. So I'm absolutely loving this content. Do you mind sharing the importance with our group of your data? So when you've built your ICP and your buyer persona, you know, why they should be really thinking about using data enrichment tools to build that list out so they have the relevant contact info.
Data is like data is the new oil.
Yeah.
It's it changes everything. Mm. So there's so many things that go into the data, right? So firstly, there's just the accuracy of the data. Can I contact you via email, via LinkedIn, via your mobile number? And we have campaigns, for example, where mobile is 80% of the meetings we get booked will be off of mobile.
Yep.
But if I can't get people's mobile numbers, now I have to use email or LinkedIn or some of the other channels. And I know those are less effective channels.
Yep.
So finding the right data lubricates the entire motion within that data. there's different pieces, right? So like some data easily relevant and targetable and achievable, and some of it's much harder and might rely on a trigger or timing.
Yeah.
Right? So for example, I use that, I'm buying a house. Well, you could look at data, hey, this person meets this LSM group. He earns roughly this kind of income, or he has this title. He's probably in the property market. He might fit our ICP. Like that's not very tight. If you could go one level deeper to know that I purchased land, now you've got a much better data, right? Because you're going to be targeting better. If you could go one level deeper to know that the house that I bought is clearly a knockdown, I'm going to be developing. Now it's even more laser focused. Now, just off that data, you could hyper personalize and make this, make it relevant without even knowing me. Hey, Ricky, I know you just bought a land. I'm assuming you're going to develop, right? And that was still all on the research piece. You could probably go even one step further than that too.
So this is good. So now we're talking about becoming more mature in the way that we approach this and look at the trigger events and intent data that allow us to really connect the relevant message to them and hyper-personalize it even further. So I'm absolutely loving this. I think for all of our listeners, we've got from step zero, we're already up to step seven, right? And I love the fact that you talk about testing. Do you mind sharing why testing a campaign or a cadence with a smaller sample group will yield a greater return over the long term?
There's two big pieces here. And you'll appreciate this, right? So much of the sales advice comes out of the States. They're like, hey, use this human-assisted parallel dialer. You can make 1,000 calls in an hour. And I'd be like, then who am I going to call the next hour? Because that is my total market here in Australia, right? Like, we don't have this market size in most of these countries. Like, you can just send 1,000 emails a day. I'm like, and what do I do next week? Like, do I just close up my shop? I've spoken to everyone. They all said no. Like, find a new job, find a new business. So, like, you have to focus on quality in markets like this. It's more of an account-based marketing motion by default in a market like this. And conversion in outbound, because you don't know where they are in their buyer cycle, we'd make that assumption that 3% of the market at any given stage is in the market. They're ready to buy. Mm. So if you spoke to 100 people, you should succeed with 3 of them. But 30 of them are willing to entertain the concept. And that's where the real value is. Can you convert up that extra 30%? Can you get them to engage with you? And it's all about maximizing that conversion and not spamming your TAM, your total addressable markets, and just churning through your TAM.
Yeah.
And companies get this wrong because they see, oh, my sales rep is getting me one meeting a day. That's what I expected from them. But what's the opportunity cost? How many people have said no in order for them to get that one yes?
Yeah.
And is that hurting you in the long run? Like, are you bringing forward today and paying for it tomorrow?
Yeah.
So increasing conversion is everything. And at the same time, as a business, you should always be interested in those no's. Because if a 1 in 100 is saying yes to you, what about the 99? Because you build up those ones, right? You get 1 in 100 say yes to you. You build up those into 100 customers, and now you're getting feedback from these 100 customers, and you're working with your 100 customers to put information back into your product development. But there's actually 100,000 who said no to you.
Yeah.
And if you could build in the features for them, if you could help understand their challenges and you were going more towards getting more people to say yes, that's a much bigger market than the 100 you have.
Absolutely. I love what you're talking about, right? Because I think for anyone that's in an individual, it's just for everyone, right? But I think, you know, as an individual contributor, there's only so many things that we can control. We can't focus on the things that we can't control. But again, if I'm running, and this is why I'm a big believer, quality over quantity, right?
Mate, always.
I've shared my numbers with my audience, Ricky. I sit at around 15 to 25% of people that I reach out to. I'm going to get into a booked meeting. Yeah. And am I doing 100 outreaches a day? No, but I don't need to, because I do what you say. Looking for trigger events. I'm trying to make sure it's relevant. The message is strong, and the point of view that I'm bringing to table, people want to hear.
You want to work smarter, not harder.
Absolutely.
You know, here's the, if you want to go from 10 to 20, and typically there's a diminishing return on investments on effort.
Yeah.
Right. So to get that next 10 takes more effort than to get the 10 that you've already gotten. And to do the 10 after that's even more. So as a sales professional, if you're looking to grow, what's your only option? Do more, do more, do more, do more. It's bloody tiring.
Yeah.
And you're going to burn out. Absolutely. But if you could do smarter and achieve more by doing less, now you've got efficiency.
Yeah.
Now you can scale. Now you can do well and thrive.
So this is awesome. And I know we haven't gone into the tactical element of making that cold call, structuring that email today. I think the fact that you've shared your blueprint of, hey, these are some of the key things that we need to do in order to set up an effective outreach strategy. You know, I know that we haven't got much time, but do you mind sharing with me sort of when you are coming up with that messaging framework, what are some of the, you know, what are the, some of the must-haves in your messaging framework? I know you said, you know, you got to personalize, you got to show relevance, but can you just give us an example of what that should sound like so that our listeners can kind of go, you know what, I've got the blueprint now and here's the even structure that I should be using.
I'll go one level higher. So firstly, like we've built out the 7 process on this call. My actual to-do list when I set up a new outbound is 197 tasks. Right, and 12 different stages, which we achieve normally over 2 to 3 months. Like there's a lot that goes into this. So when we're talking about emails, here's some of the things that we do a bit differently. Firstly, our first email, we'll normally have 4 or 5 different variants going out. Why? Well, because we're testing. I'm not a magician. I can't tell you which is going to be the best message. Over time, maybe, but we're testing. And so we can put different structures. It actually makes it easier because if you have to choose a perfect email up front, it's very hard. But if you just have to choose your best 5, well, it's actually a bit easier. So we'll put in 5 variants up front. That also does something else incredibly important. It reduces the amount of the same emails going out from your servers or being received by servers. Because that same email going out on mass gets flagged as spam.
Yeah.
Each email being unique increases delivery. So we'll always write 5 of the first email, 4 of the second email, 3 of the third, because presumably as people are moving through our cadence, they're getting converted yes or no's. And so less of email 4 is going out than email 1 as an example.
Yeah.
So that's something we always do on our emails. In terms of the actual wording, I am massive. There's 2 things I'll do. Go click on your spam folder. Right now, you look at your spam, read all of those emails, whatever those say, don't do that.
we got heaps of great. That's right. I love this. Like, you have examples of what not to do in your junk folder, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to mine right now, right? Because I do this when I'm running courses.
And it changes. So at the moment, the things that used to work for us in Outbound that were new and novel don't work anymore because it's now been picked up internationally. It's now everyone's doing that. And so now that's being seen as your typical spammer. So you've got to be different.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got this. The Philippines booming economy are driving more Australian. Then I open it and it tells me, do I want outsourced people, blah, 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 blah. I've got, mate, heaps of these emails in my junk folder. So that's a great strategy for anyone.
So there we go. That's what not to do. So what to do, I like to think like this. Firstly, what kind of an email do I want to receive? Right. Like, I'm a human, I'm a person, I'm a busy professional. So are you. So are the people I'm trying to contact to. What do they want to receive? And honestly, I just want it to be short. I want it to be sharp. I want it to be the point. I don't want to like all of this wanky different, like, you know, we've been renowned and this whole company history. So we keep it as short as possible.
You know?
Hey, Luigi, you're building out some incredible stuff with Sales IQ. Listen to your recent podcast that had, you know, talking about, had Todd Capone on, bloody inspirational. Loved that mountain, whatever. I might not even go into that much detail, but just to show you that, like, I'm not some person like that email you just read outsourcing from the Philippines. So just one line. And it doesn't matter what that one line is. I'm just saying, hey, Luigi, I'm a normal person here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
That's all I want you to read in my first line. I can't say that.
Yeah.
But that's what I want you to know. And then I'll just go straight into it, you know? Like, how are you getting this, or how are you doing that, or you're probably struggling with this. 65 words, 125 words is maximum.
Yeah.
And signed off simply. We normally use no signatures because it decreases delivery, but that's all into the technical stuff.
Yeah.
Super simple messaging.
And I love that. And you know what? You know, I'm a big fan of Will from Lavender, who shares some incredible tips on LinkedIn.
Exactly.
And he's been on our show before. So
that would be my exact thing. Like, I'm not the email, I'm not the writing expert. You know, we got a copywriter on our team. But you can use Lavender. You could write your own message. But if you're using a scientific approach of optimizing, then it doesn't really matter what your message is, because each week, each fortnight, each month, you're just going to make it better and better and better.
Do you know what? This is one of the things that I look, as much as I love Will from Lavender, he talks about 50 words, 11 seconds. Mate, I've sent emails that are 100 words, but because they're very personalized, it's very relevant. Yeah. I've got my meeting, and they're with C-levels. I got one coming up, 15 minutes, that I reach out to the chief commercial officer and I got the meeting, right? And it wasn't, it wasn't 50 words. It was about 80, 90 words. Okay.
There's huge cultural things. A lot of the advice that everyone's getting from these American gurus, and they are exceptional. And maybe in 2 years' time, we'll need to be following that advice. Culturally, things are different in every country.
Absolutely.
And you have to be relevant for that country. When I'm prospecting into Japan, if I tried a 65-word email, I'm not getting a response. I could write a 1,000-word email in Japan, and if it's relevant and to the right person, they will read every single word of it and compose a formal response.
But you're absolutely right. But in saying that, I prospect into the US. I don't always follow the 50-word rule, and I get meetings because, again, for me, I'd rather demonstrate, because I'm not doing mass volume. I'm going, hey, you know, I've got a recent one that I said, hey, I've just understand X. I also noticed your competitor is growing X, you know, in this total addressable market. This is what they're doing. I think there's a way for you to achieve X. Bang, chief revenue officer responded within about 8 minutes.
Amazing.
And said, when do you want to meet? Right. So we could talk about this for hours, Ricky, and I think we've got another episode which we're going to have to get you on. And you know what, mate? I don't have a lot of people that come on twice onto the Sales IQ podcast. I think we've only ever had two people come on our show twice, but I think you're a candidate to come on. But
that would be an honor.
Yeah, and this time he'll be running, folks. He'll be running on
exactly.
That treadmill.
I'll be going 6.5 kilometers at least.
Hey, just before we wrap up, where's the best place for our listeners to engage, find? How can they find you and your walking content? What's the best place?
So pretty much on LinkedIn.
Yep.
Right. That's the best way to engage with me. I'm in a lot of the different sales channels. You know, you can get my phone number off LinkedIn, phone me. Like always, I appreciate a good cold call.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I do my recruitment. I like wait for good cold callers. I'm like, this person's good, right? Hey, is this call being recorded?
Yeah.
We need you. We need you on the A team. But LinkedIn's a great place to engage. And like, I love it because I have something to learn from everyone as well.
Yeah. Awesome, Ricky. Well, mate, I just want to say, you know, obviously we're going to put your LinkedIn in the show notes. I want to say, man, I actually do value your content. There's been a lot of useful URLs that I've picked up. You've given me food for thought when it comes to my outreach. And this is what I love doing what we do, right? Because I am only scratching the surface of what's possible. And our listeners listen to this show every week because they're trying to be the best they can be. So I want to say thanks for the contribution you make to our community.
Well, thank you. And thank you for the work that you're doing. Like, I've taken so much inspiration from your podcast, from the whole group. You know, I'd call it a group, but I could also call it an enterprise, or like a the people involved in your network are changing the face of sales, and it's fantastic to be close to the action.
Yeah, well, thanks, Ricky. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Cheers.
This show has been recorded remotely, produced by Sales IQ Global. Audio editing and music production by Stefan Maliate. Show notes by Victoria Matheson. And graphic design by Julie Marshall. Don't forget to leave a rating and review on your podcast player. And if you want to find more about the programs we offer at Sales IQ, head to www.salesiqglobal.com.